since I just started recording. You are listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin precious metals broker-dealer depository service. The reason I'm repeating myself is because we are now recording, and there's a lot of people that like to listen to the radio show on the web post live, which is, I'd say, understandable. They can stop it, pause it, download it, whatever they'd like. You don't necessarily have that luxury. When you listen to it live, I cannot tell you how many times I've been listening to something live, and I'm like, what was that? What was that? You know, or, you know, the human mind drifts. Most people don't even realize. USA Today, the newspaper, obviously, in case you didn't know, actually writes their articles based on the fact that the U.S. citizen, which I suppose applies to human beings in general, have a 4 to 5 minute maximum attention span. So they write all these little articles that are simplistic and childish. They write articles at the level of 7th to 8th grade. In certain situations, they say they go all the way down to a 4th grade reading level. This is really what we've become as a nation. People take no pride in articulating information in what I would call good old-fashioned intelligence. The schools, as we know, they're teaching our children what to think, not how to think. And if you actually think about that, that's a problem. They're creating socialist robots. And if you saw the Trump State of the Union last night, he mentioned that. He mentioned that we're not a socialistic country, never will be. Of course, they panned in on Bernie Sanders, which was an appropriate person to zoom in on. I'm a historian, huh? How about a historian? And I just cannot believe that we have allowed this socialistic concept to come creeping in. You get like the Elizabeth Warrens and things like this. Folks, some of the candidates that appear to be the next Democratic presidential candidate are horrendous to look at. And I don't mean unattractive or anything like that, because in general, we're not supposed to do that. And the Bible's pretty clear about the fact that when you insult a man or woman or person or human being or, you know, whatever, you are insulting their creator. Well, who is their creator? God himself, right? So when you demonize or vilify or mock or belittle or whatever it may be, a person who, we're made the way we're made. I was always extremely athletic. I held records in, Montana. I mean, a lot of people are like, Montana was a big football state. And a lot of people are like, oh, Montana, big deal. Well, there was some big boys that came out of that state and a lot of NFL material. I mean, I have a lot of friends that went on to the NFL and so far, so forth. And I'll tell you something real interesting as a side note. We put out, I mean, I knew a guy, Pat Taylor, who got kicked out of high school as a junior for cocaine or something. He went to California. I mean, this guy was such a superstar. We had videos of him as a linebacker jumping the entire defense or offensive line and crushing the quarterback, literally where all the offensive line would be down and ready to take a hit from this guy because this guy was bad to the bone. So they'd be, you know, he'd blast them hard a few times. And then he'd come back, you know, the fourth time or whatever, and they'd thrust everything they had forward, and he would literally hurtle over them. He had incredible speed and agility. We called him Whitey. Oops, sorry, that's a racist term, isn't it? Gosh. We called him Whitey because he had just snow white hair. I would say he was kind of almost borderline albino. He was probably 6'3", 6'4", in the twos, upper mid twos. Just shredded iron, you know, as hard as steel gets and tough. Love to fight. I grew up in an environment where fighting was a culture, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. I'll just say that. It's an interesting culture when fighting is something that you do as a sport. And fighting in Montana was a sport. Behind the bars, the rock, some of you may have heard of the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman, Montana. Probably one of the most famous bars out there. There was so many fights, they actually built decks around the outside. So when you went out the back before you went to the alleyway, they had this U-shaped cavity in the building where fights took place. And it was one fight after the next, and guys would literally line up and wait their turn to get in the ring or whatever you want to call it. There are definitely disadvantages to that, aren't there? And do you know that there are advantages? And when I say that, I mean it with the deepest sincerity. And the reason that I say that is because people learned when to talk, when not to talk, how to keep their mouth shut when they should, how to open it when they should. People just learn that sort of thing in that environment, and it was just a rather interesting. And the other thing I'll say I kind of liked about it, I hate to sound this way, we actually had street rules. We had street fighting rules, and for those of you who know me, sadly, and maybe unfortunately, or however you choose to look at it, I engaged in a lot of that stuff myself. Nothing I'm proud of at all to this day. I look back, I don't know, it just, it's not fond memories. The reason I have theorized that I haven't gone to a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I theorize the reason that I got involved in that was due to a lot of anger. And the counselor said, even though you're 42 years old, you still have PTSD from your parents fully, totally, and completely rejecting you at one point in your life. And I will apologize for my voice. It is a combination of a cold and a sinus thing, and it's definitely, shall we say, annoying. Yes, let's say annoying. It is not exactly opportune. It's not where I wish it was. So every once in a while, I'll sneak a drink, and hopefully you won't even know it, but it's where I'm at. But, you know, to stay on this topic quickly, growing up Montana, rocking our bar, one of the top 10 probably most famous bars maybe around, you know, I think of, you know, I'm sure there's bars in vacation areas in the Caribbean and Florida that are far more popular, but it just had a mystique about it, and it was the place, and I became a believer later. Do you know another thing? When I went to school, high school, the drinking age in Montana was 18. That meant that kids, which, by the way, there were plenty, who were 18 and still seniors in high school, why would that be? A, parents started them for school late, or B, they flunked out and had to repeat some stuff. Those are typical of the whole situation. And so we had quite the organization. We had, if you dropped out of school in Montana when I was growing up, before you were 16, you would literally be charged with some kind of a truancy offense. And they would literally lock you up. And so my junior high, when I went to school, elementary school was 1 through 6. Junior high was 7th, 8th. No, that's not right. 7th, yeah, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And then after that, high school was 9th through 12th, I think. That isn't that show you how well I still really care. It doesn't matter. I got my diploma, and I went to college because all my, you know, quasi friends were the guys that I thought were my friends and proved later not to be. And so we had rules, you know, you don't kick a guy when he's down. I mean, you just don't do it. We had other rules, like if somebody quit, okay, that was it, okay? And that meant that if someone said, I've had enough, I'm done, basically it's like tapping out in UFC. So when people quit, they were done. They didn't have to worry about more. I'll never forget when a Hispanic fella from California had come, and he'd gotten into a skerfuffle in the front of the bar instead of the back, and he tried to pull a knife on his opponent, a Montana boy. I'll tell you what, that crowd had zero tolerance. Not only did they take care of business with the guy that had the knife, letting him go luckily limb by limb and piece by piece, he was able, you know, I mean, he wasn't torn apart too bad, but it was just a firm, hard rule. You don't kick people when they're down. If they say they quit, they quit. That's it. You won. And frankly, you know, the old adage that, you know, sometimes your best friends are the ones you start out by fighting. Well, where that saying came from was the generation and maybe before that I grew up in. Montana was a classic. I mean, we were 20 years, 30 years behind in style. We didn't have the TV and all these magazines, and we just didn't have all that stuff to persuade us. Now the thing I hate is I travel the world. At times, my wife and I would call us beach chasers. We try to find the most incredible tropical resorts around. And we love it. But over the last few years, it's gotten to the point where you can't do anything about it. I mean, it just stays at the level that it stays, and that is what it is. So last night we had President Donald F., isn't that right, Frederick, maybe, or Trump, President of the United States of America, give a State of the Union address. The first thing that I will say was, for him, it was pretty positive. He does like to repeat certain phrases that he likes. Maybe it's because they're his. Maybe it's because he told the writer to put it in there. Or maybe it's just because he likes it in there. I don't know how many presidents spend a lot of time on their speaking ability, but they're out there for sure. You know, I've traveled to some very phenomenal coin collections. I've bought some very phenomenal coin collections, and that is just the way it works, you know. So people in general, you know, the Depression era citizens are in general gone. People come in now. For the last 20 years, which is insane to even say, I swear it was a month ago we started the state quarter program. The state quarter program really began that combined with, you know, economic woes and worries and the Y2K threat, where, you know, all these computer clocks were set not to roll over to the next day or whatever it may be. They were just set the way they were set. And so they were worried that if clocks didn't automatically, you know, reset and go to 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. instead of 1,300 and 1,400 hours like the military, they were convinced that that was going to bring the world to an end. And, you know, so what did people do? They loaded up on gold. What did I do? I sat there and talked him out of it. It's kind of funny because had I let them just do what they knew was right, they'd have made a lot of money. And to be frank, I didn't, and maybe I should have at that time. It was, you know, it was just a different time. We'll leave it right there. Trump's whole transcript is here. I'm going to dig it out, and I'm going to try to touch on some highlights. If I can find a good example, unfortunately, as you're all very well aware, we now live in the world of what we call clickbait. What is clickbait? Clickbait is something that's designed on the internet to make you click page by page by page. Each time you visit a page, for example, a company may guarantee you through a negotiated price, you know, X amount of commercials. We at one point, I had a guy slash friend, really good friend, working for me for a while. This Joe Locknet was just a cool guy. His son is an incredibly high ranked enlisted officer. I believe he's an E9, and I believe there is a handful of them. I believe the numbers, if I remember correctly, was that he had, you know, basically done a lot of, you know, quite impressive things. So anyway, so when you go to President Trump's State of the Union address, I've got the transcript here, and I'm going to try to scan through it because I felt that there was a lot of good information there. You had the left, you had Adam Schiff, you had, you know, the post-speech blues, politics is dirt, it's never going to change. I think this is why you see the youth trying to fight this stuff, because they actually believe that there's hope. I do think that they, you know, they compensate their CEOs very well. I've worked for, before I was self-employed, I worked for a couple companies. First was an actuarial, nice, sorry about the noise. First was an actuarial company by the name of Equifax. You may be familiar with the name because of credit bureau reporting. Equifax is number one. When I was in the business, we'll say, as an actuary, an actuary calculates the statistical probability of an accident happening, you know, the average cost. They equate tickets with potential for accidents. And folks, I'll tell you something really interesting. You can use this on the cop next time, but he's not going to care. Tickets, speeding tickets, do not necessarily equate to accidents. However, okay, so how do I explain this? So people that have a lot of tickets don't necessarily have a high propensity of accidents, okay? That's not what you're told. That's not what you're told to think. The reason they do that is so they can get more money. On the other hand, people who tend to have a lot of accidents also have a lot of tickets. So one is, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. One is one way and the other another. And so you've got a situation where if someone speeds a lot, it doesn't mean they're going to get in an accident. But if someone who tends to get in a lot of accidents tends to speed a lot. And so, you know, I guess the moral of the story is, if you don't get in accidents, just drive crazy. Drive super, super fast. No, I'm just kidding. President Trump's State of the Union address. You know, he says, so they got President Donald Trump's second formal State of the Union address. Of course, Nancy Pelosi, the sweetheart she is, tried with all of her might to keep a decent face during the whole thing. It's sort of like when we look at the left and we're like, how could anybody look at this lineup and be impressed with who they are? To try to live their life in a way that's glorifying to God in the utmost and the highest. So, it says, President Donald Trump's, you know, this was his second formal State of the Union address. It took place as the president and Congress are still battling over this solution to avert another government shutdown on February 15th. The left has absolutely, apparently, vowed to their constituents that they will not allow a wall. Like, I don't know what they have in mind, but it's taped similar to that I would use. Mostly it's in a tape gun. So anyway, be sure and order that before it gets too late. And see what we end up with. I don't know. I just don't know what you're going to get. I really don't. I wish I could tell you, but I just can't. I do know that age mellows alcohol or whiskey. That's why scotch can become so tremendously expensive. It's based on the age, A, of the barrel, B, how long the alcohol has been in the barrel. That is a huge component in determining the value of alcohol, the value of anything along those lines is judged that way. And they say that Scotland, for some reason, is the weather is, they say, uniformly, positive. It's actually, from the nearest I can tell, I thank you that, you know, you've been so supportive of us over the years. We really do appreciate it. It means the world to us as a locally owned and operated, I should say Christian owned and operated business. And I always use the disclaimer by throwing Christianity into my business preferences, because so many times people who use Christianity as an armband to gain or develop your trust in order for you to use them, so many times they actually are unethical and they'll hide behind that. In fact, years back, there was a guy named Pat Kiley on the radio who was selling, I don't even know what it was. It was some, the Muslims can't charge Sharia laws, or Sharia law won't allow them to charge interest. And so, we basically have an opportunity to loan these people money with incredible amounts of, with incredible amounts of what is necessary in order to glorify you as the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Almighty. And I have chosen tonight to go home after my shift. I tend to stay, and I always tend to stay. I always intend to try to please the Lord in what I do. And as a man of sin, saved sinner, I do fall by the wayside and tend to make mistakes like we all do. So let's, without further ado, as they say, whatever that means, let's touch on his State of the Union address. The theme of the speech was to choosing greatness, according to, his briefing on Friday. And then on it goes. He says, my fellow Americans, we meet tonight at a moment of unlimited potential. Now, I'm going to plug in here where I shouldn't, but I personally don't think Donald Trump has the first clue what our debt problem is. And I think that in reality, he is setting us up for being very, very troublesome. I mean, heading towards disaster. I mean, let's face it. We are facing some of the toughest times in some ways this country has ever seen. We've got it split down the middle. I would lay a lot of the responsibility on the lap of Barack Hussein Obama. He was the one that basically got this whole, black liberation theology and this left-wing socialistic rubbish going, which has really done us nothing but tremendous harm. We are in a very tight spot. There's only two ways out, right? One is hyperinflation, the other one is bankruptcy or insolvency. Well, if you have hyperinflation at your fingertips, why would you ever consider bankruptcy? Hyperinflation, the definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. So all he's got to do is produce more and more and more and more of these dollars, fiat currency notes. And that does what? Have you seen the real estate boom that we just went through the last few years? I mean, homes like my son's that I think he paid about $250 for is now worth $400. It's just in a development. The high-end homes, not so much, but I will say that homes over $1 million on Lake Coeur d'Alene and on the river in the last 6 years, I'm trying to think, there's one, I don't know, I wish I did, because the word is that it is not nearly the level of expense that we're taught and or told that it is. That is something that really, it's very tough for me to see America, you know, fall apart at the seams in complete and total contradiction to what our founding fathers had drawn up. I believe that they were inspired divinely. We had, you know, the Barbary pirates ransacking our ships. We were spending 20%. Think about that. 20% of the yearly budget, the yearly congressional budget, 21% was going to pay bribes to the Barbary pirates to leave our people alone. Well, guess what? It didn't even matter. They kept doing it. They had just gotten finished ransacking, kidnapping, burning, raping, pillaging, you name it, 750 U.S. citizens. Ships used to travel in threes. The logic there is the same logic you get with a lot of very exclusive mechanics. When I was in on an island called Teacheroa, T-E-T-I-A-R-O-A-A, I think, Teacheroa, or a resort called the Brando, right as we were there for a period of time. It was fairly new in 14, now labeled one of the finest resorts in the world, hands down, bar none. And the cost was extremely affordable. 24/7 Michelin 2-star chef, or people that have been trained by him, or they try to establish your life patterns and work around that. And there is service. There is no limit to what service is. I mean, there is just no limit at all. And so as, you know, as I stand back and I look into the looking glass of the future, I really don't know what it holds. However, let's keep going. Let's not do this. I believe I may have lost the, I may have lost the State of the Union address, which is no big deal, easy to replace, but I have a lot of stuff here that, anyway. So I'm going to just go from memory. I have it memorized. That's a joke. He says, my fellow Americans, we meet tonight at a moment full of unlimited potential. Let me see how long. But anyway, so he says, we salute you in 2019. I don't really have time to go into it today, folks. One thing I want to talk about. We are sitting in a critical crossroads. Do you notice they won't touch the financial aspects of this nation? Where we're going, where we came from, none of it. They won't touch it, okay? We know the state of the union financially is not good. We know that we think that we're in the middle of an economic boom, which is not true. We are in the middle of an economic explosion that is driven by hyperinflation. We've got the Repatriotization Act, where Trump mentioned $350 trillion, or not trillion, billion dollars, is coming back to America to provide 20,000 jobs. You do the math, and I that didn't make a lot of sense to me. $350 billion for 20,000 jobs, there's a lot of money going somewhere else. And you say, well, yeah, it's research and development, and it's this and it's that. It still doesn't work. The numbers still don't jive at all. So if they've got $350 billion, let's see, how many zeros is that? Nine? Because six is a million. So let me do a little math-a-rooski here. And we have, there it is. That's a big number. And that ends up being $17.5 million per job. Now, say, well, gee, they're going to spread it out over 10 years. Okay, fine. 10 years. That's $1.75 million per employee. Something's fishy. They're repatriotizing the money. And the CEO, Tim Cook, is getting very rich. And that's just the way it is. Get used to it. Get over it. That's the country we live in. And repatriotization is right. It's true. It's the way it ought to be. Your money should be your money. We overtax to an extreme. And, folks, I'm going to tell you straight out of the box. Straight out of the box. You have one and one only way of protecting your finances long term. It is hard assets. You can buy Apple stock. You can buy Google stock. Folks, do you know that there's a day coming where you are going to watch Google fall apart? I was doing some reading lately where it's coming. It's coming. Apple, I just got the new XS Max telephone. My wife bought it. It was the brand new hot thing. I told my wife before that I'd never buy the newest, hottest anything, and she'd forgotten and got it for me, and that phone has given me an absolute living nightmare. I try to keep notes of all the problems. I've got to call AppleCare and get it cared for, but as I've had happen before, I buy a brand new phone, and they will send me a refurb. Which I do not appreciate, but that's the way that they do it. Our consumer price index, same old deal. I've discussed it. It's a deceptive index. The Dow Jones Industrial, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, all artificial indexes using weighted moving averages, removing and replacing stocks. You do not have the luxury to do that to your portfolio. Your broker, I saw one the other day, Fisher Investments, they said, well, a lot of brokers will just let your money sit there. They said, not us. We're going to call you every month and evaluate your portfolio and see if you need to move here or move there. It's called churning, and that is how they make more and more money. Now, Coins Plus. We're like other brokers. We are not going to call you, bother you, harass you. Once you buy, you may choose to store here. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western United States. and beyond the majority of every state in the U.S., we really have a high security system, and we're able to, well, we're not able to access it, only they are. And it's pretty obvious why we do that. We do it so that, you know, that people don't, you know, basically get themselves in deep over their heads. We've got incredible levels of borrowing and debt that have never been even imagined. The average citizen in the United States, including children, women and children, is over $1 million each. We have stagflation. The price of goods continues to increase while interest rates decrease. No economy, you know, basically, monetary inflation is the creation of money, and in our case, it's from thin air. We are out of time. How about that? Give us a call, 444-0044. Give us a review on Google. Get a free silver dollar. But let us get you an IRA, 401k, or nice savings account. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.